This is NBC Nightly News, Wednesday, February 26th, with John Chancellor reporting from the NBC News Center in New York and David Brinkley's Journal from Washington.
Good evening. President Ford said today that the anti-recession tax cut he wants may not clear the Congress until June. The president said, however, that he will keep the pressure on the Congress to enact a tax cut. And a few hours after he spoke, House Democrats were preparing for a vote, one of them tomorrow, on two tax break plans, one of them backed by Republicans calling for tax cuts for individual taxpayers. The president is on a work and play trip to Florida. Here's a report on his day from John Cochran.
Presidential visits often attract pickets, but this demonstration was aimed more at the First Lady than at the president. The protesters were critical of Mrs. Ford because she has lobbied for passage of the Equal Rights Amendment. The president was not questioned about women's rights at his news conference, but he did cover a lot of other ground, especially on the economy.
Just let me express
slow action by Congress has delayed passage of tax cuts needed to fight the recession.
That could conceivably take until June. I think that is very ill-advised and extremely serious. We had hoped that Congress would act by the middle of March at the latest, and they could have if they had taken the simple, specific tax reductions that I recommended.
The president was asked if there's anything else he can do to fight the recession.
I don't believe so. On the other hand, if there is anything, instead of increasing expenditures, as some have suggested, I would favor a larger tax decrease. But at the present moment, I don't think we have reached that point.
The news conference ended the work portion of the president's Florida stay. He spent the afternoon playing golf. Mr. Ford's golfing partners included pro Jack Nicklaus and comedians Bob Hope and Jackie Gleason. Gleason is the host of this annual celebrity tournament. Mr. Ford told Gleason last fall he wanted to play in the tourney, but White House aides denied the president's scheduled speaking engagements in Florida just so he could play golf. Gleason has had good luck getting presidents to come here. Former President Nixon stopped by 2 years ago, but he did not play. Nixon's close friend, B.B. Rebozo, was on hand today. Rebozo is on the tournament's board of directors. The president got off to a slow start, double bogeying the first hole, and his game never improved much. Mr. Ford has had better days on the golf links. John Cochran, NBC News, with the president in South Florida.
The president did get some encouraging news today about his planned veto of a bill which would delay his tax on foreign oil. Democratic Senator Henry Jackson of Washington says the president may well be right in saying he has enough votes to sustain that veto. Also on the program this evening, we'll be looking at a new plan for reorganizing 7 sick railroads at a cost up to $7 billion. We'll also check on the Senate's fight over the filibuster rule, which grew more intense today as conservatives bitterly attacked Vice President Rockefeller, the Senate's presiding officer. And from Chicago, we'll have a look at a triumphant Richard J. Daley, who turned out the voters yesterday to smash the only primary opposition he's had in decades. Those stories and others after this.
Your own home, is it full of serious mishaps that could be avoided? Read Safeguarding Your Home, a 7-page consumer report in March Reader's Digest. The pill. Women have used it for years, yet many still have nagging doubts about it. Read The Pill 15 years later in March Reader's Digest. The March Reader's Digest, a great issue, a great special low price, just 59 cents this month only. Save over 20%. Get your copy.
It's one of those days, low back pain. Feels like all your muscles are one big knot of pain. That's when you need Heat. Heat's exclusive formula brings fast relief for low back pain. Just brush on Heat. In seconds, you feel a surge of warmth, a flood of heat, relieving that knot of pain, so muscles feel better fast. Your back moves more freely for hours. Liquid Heat or Heat Spray. Fast relief for low back pain. Heat.
Well, girls, you know, when I used to visit my grandmother out here, whenever I got this wet and cold, Grandma would rush me over to the fireplace and she'd get out the Listerine. She'd say, nothing stops colds, but if you eat well, get lots of sleep, and gargle twice a day with Listerine antiseptic, even if you do get a cold, maybe you won't feel as miserable.
You say the same thing.
I guess that's how you start a family tradition,
Grandma.
Listerine antiseptic, a part of mothering for over 80 years.
Defense Secretary James Schlesinger today repeated the Ford administration's contention that unless more aid to Cambodia is forthcoming quickly, the Cambodian government will succumb to insurgent attacks. In testimony before a House Appropriations Subcommittee, Schlesinger said that if Congress approves the $222 million in help for Cambodia, the Lon Nol government stands a good chance of surviving. But Schlesinger added that he could not guarantee anything. At his Florida press conference today, the president sounded an equally urgent note. Here is some of what he had to say about the Cambodian situation.
Cambodia, the problem there is extremely critical. Unless there is additional U.S. military aid, as I have recommended, the Cambodians will run out of ammunition in a relatively short period of time. I think that would be most unfortunate. Because if they are able, between now and the end of the dry season, to maintain their national integrity, the present government, there is a possibility of negotiations that might end the war in Cambodia.
In Washington, Senate Majority Leader Mike Mansfield said he's sick and tired of seeing Cambodians killed with American weapons. Mansfield said the more aid we give, the more killings there will be. And he added that he hopes Congress will not give in to pressure from President Ford. In Cambodia, the fighting continued and the government lost another outpost, this one 6 miles south of the naval base at Nek Long. That base is now vulnerable to a frontal attack. The State Department said today that the Arab countries have blacklisted more than 1,500 American companies for doing business with Israel. For example, a 1970 Saudi Arabian blacklist named such companies as Ford, Xerox, Sears Roebuck, and the RCA Corporation. The blacklist and a decision made by the Army Corps of Engineers regarding Jewish officers drew a strong reaction today from the Defense Department and from President Ford. Irving R. Levine has that story.
At his Florida news conference, President Ford said he wanted to leave no doubt about the position of the U.S. government toward the Arab blacklist.
Such discrimination is totally contrary to the American tradition and repugnant to American principles. It has no place in the free practice of commerce as it has flourished in this country. Foreign businessmen and investors are most welcome in the United States when they are willing to conform to the principles of our society. However, any allegations of discrimination will be fully investigated and appropriate action taken under the laws of the United States.
At a Senate hearing today, Colonel William Durham of the Army Corps of Engineers said that qualified Jewish officers are not assigned to construction projects in Saudi Arabia. Also, no construction firm owned by Jews is participating in the $1.7 billion worth of projects supervised by the Army Engineers. The Corps rejects automatically any application from any firm for Jews to work on these projects. Senator Frank Church said that a country that accepts our technical help should not be allowed to discriminate against any American. At the Pentagon, an Army spokesman said that the entire matter will now be investigated. Irving R. Levine, NBC News, Washington.
President Hafez Assad of Syria reaffirmed today what he told Newsweek magazine last week, that he would be willing to sign a peace agreement with Israel if the Israelis withdraw to the borders they had before the 1967 war and if the Palestinians are guaranteed a homeland. Secretary of State Kissinger has called Assad's statement a major step forward because in the past, Assad has refused to recognize Israel's existence.
This arthritic gets hours of relief from occasional minor arthritic pain. Listen.
I have arthritis in the shoulder, the neck, down the arm. And I like to garden. As soon as I take the Bayer time release tablets, very quick the relief starts. And I can continue doing what I like to do. Pruning, you know, gripping.
Bayer timed release. Double the usual dose of pain reliever. For strong relief, long relief.
Mother, I just won't take it. I've got my own laxative, and it tastes like chocolate. Milk of magnesia tastes like...
chocolate. See? New chocolate-flavored Phillips.
Chocolate Phillips? Does it work?
Of course. It's still gentle, thorough milk of magnesia. The kind of laxative doctors recommend most often. Your chocolate laxative can't say that.
Try the Phillips.
Chocolate Phillips. It tastes good.
The Senate interrupted its fight over the filibuster rule today and voted approval of $347 million in emergency nourishment for railroads. The bulk of the money will go to the Penn Central, the rest to six others. The U.S. Railway Association, a federal advisory group, said today that it could cost over $7 billion to get the seven sick railroads in the Northeast and Middle West back on their tracks. That's more than three times the amount the Congress has agreed to guarantee in railroad loans. The Railway Association also says that if there are drastic cutbacks in lightly used rail lines, such a system could become profitable within 3 years. This scaling back proposal is already under fire from senators and governors in the states that would be affected. The new system would be a combination of federal subsidies, loans, and private enterprise. It would be called Conrail, and here's more about it. From Robert Hager.
The proposed new Conrail system would operate on 15,000 miles of existing track in the Northeast and Midwest. A great deal of that track now is in miserable shape. This film was made by Penn Central last year to show the worst of the line's problems. Repairing track will take an estimated $5 billion. Fixing the track will cost so much that today's report says it might be best for the government simply to take over ownership of the track and let the railroads pay a fee for using it. The other big problem is old, worn-out freight cars and locomotives. Penn Central says if all its cars needing repairs were lined up, the line would be 200 miles long. Repairing rolling stock will take another $2.5 billion, the second most expensive of today's recommendations. Robert Hager, NBC News.
It is one thing to make a logical calculation that parts of a rail system have to be abandoned. It's another thing to depend on one of those little-used, beat-up rail lines. The people in Doe Run, Pennsylvania, on a spur line off the Pensies main line, depend on their railroad, and they've been talking with Richard Hunt about it.
It's safe to walk the tracks on this branch of the Penn Central. Only three trains a week go by, and the speed limit is 6 miles an hour, because the track is so bad. The rusty Doe Run branch runs 6 1/10 miles. Part of the 6,000 miles that might be cut out of the reorganized rail system. The railroad loses money on the Doe Run line, but the service is important to the half dozen shippers along the way. The Kale and Mushroom Company needs the line to bring in corn cobs from Indiana to make compost for mushroom growers. Manager Jim Roberts says losing rail service would mean higher prices.
Firstly, the cost of hauling corn cobs will increase significantly as we have to go further to railroad sidings to pick them up and haul them to Avondale, Pennsylvania.
The Doe Run branch also serves this 95-year-old factory, run by the Pennsylvania General Paper Company in a hamlet called Buck Run. The company brings in waste paper by rail, ships out paper towels. It employs 47 people and supports the entire population of Buck Run. Manager Ralph Bicking worries about losing rail service.
It would be quite a hardship, and I would say that'd probably mean the end of it.
And what would happen to all of your employees?
They would have to search for employment elsewhere.
Finally, the railroad comes to Doe Run. It's a farm community, and the loss of rail service probably wouldn't make much difference at this end of the line. It should not be called a one-horse town, but there's not much business here that couldn't be handled just as well by truck, even if it cost more. This spur doesn't have to be abandoned. The state could take it over, and the federal government would pay 70% of the cost. Still, the taxpayers will have to decide how badly they want this line. And it won't be cheap. Richard Hunt, NBC News, Doe Run, Pennsylvania.
For many years, the Pentagon has taken a beating on cost overruns for military projects, but the General Accounting Office of the Congress has released a report on over 250 recent federal construction projects, and the report shows $57 billion worth of overruns. That's an increase of 75%, and of that total, $46 billion is from civilian projects. Some of those civilian projects increased 9 times beyond their original estimates. The GAO says inflation was not a big factor in the overruns. A rebound today on the stock markets. The Dow Jones Industrial Index went up almost 9 points, while the average price of a share on the New York Exchange was up 8 cents.
I love last-minute details.
And champagne with creamed spinach.
Enjoying your first business trip, Mr. Smedley.
Time for the old 1-2. For aches and pains with upset stomach, take Alka-Seltzer. It gives the old 1-2 the old 1-2.
He had the Alka-Seltzer in the briefcase!
For acid indigestion alone, use new Alka-Seltzer Gold without aspirin.
When a man uses an aftershave, what does he really want?
Fancy bottles?
Full of fancy perfume?
And fancy prices?
No!
A man wants to smell like a man.
There's something about Aqua Velva.
He wants to be cool and refreshed.
There's something about Aqua Velva.
A man wants to feel like a man.
Feel like a man, cause there's something about an Aqua Velva man.
For about a week now, a majority of the Senate has been in agreement that the rule on filibusters should be changed to make it easier to end a filibuster. And all that time, the parliamentary maneuvering of Senator James Allen of Alabama has prevented that. He has been filibustering himself brilliantly. Today, the issue turned into an angry wrangle in which conservative Southern Democrats and conservative Republicans teamed up to attack the rulings from the presiding officer of the Senate, Vice President Rockefeller. For more on that and a primer on filibustering, here is Catherine Mackin.
For 6 days, Vice President Rockefeller, as the presiding officer, has ruled in favor of the reformers, who are mostly liberals and want it made easier to end filibusters. He has so outraged conservative Republicans that they called the White House yesterday and threatened to pull out votes from under President Ford on the oil tariff veto if Rockefeller did not back off. But Rockefeller did not back off. Again today, he refused to recognize Senator Allen, the leader of the filibuster, at a crucial moment. A Rockefeller aide said, "You just don't blackmail this man." At one point, Louisiana Senator Russell Long angrily shouted that the vice president doesn't own the Senate. But the bitter exchange still did not solve the problem of what will be done about filibusters, another word for talkathon or unlimited debate. Filibusters are as old as the Senate and have rarely been popular with the public, especially when they last a long time. One such filibuster so outraged the country and President Wilson that the Senate adopted Rule 22 in 1917. It says a filibuster can be cut off if 2/3 of the Senate agree. Today, that would mean 67 senators. This is called cloture. Senate reformers now are trying to reduce that number to 60 because they think it's almost impossible to get 67 senators to agree on anything. Filibusters and the use of Rule 22 by both liberals and conservatives have dramatically increased over the last 6 years, tying up the Senate in parliamentary procedure, delaying other legislation, and some charge making the Senate less efficient. But Senator James Allen, the undisputed expert on Senate rules, says Rule 22 is needed to protect minority views. Allen has led or been involved in 24 filibusters the past 4 years. He warns the Senate will be destroyed if Rule 22 is changed.
If this rules change is made, you've seen the last of the United States Senate as a great deliberative body. It'll be a disorganized mob.
But reform leader Walter Mondale has another view.
Fight of this Congress. The present rule permits a tiny minority to paralyze anything they don't like. So anything we try to do in the energy field, for example, will be subject to this small minority. And I don't see how the country can move and really deal with its problems unless we can close off debate more effectively than we can today.
Recognizing that the Senate is stalemating on the Rule 22 fight, Senate leaders began working out a compromise late today that would give the reformers the change they want on a trial basis only. 60 senators would be allowed to end filibusters for this Congress. The 1976 Congress would then decide whether that would become a permanent rule. Catherine Mackin, NBC News at the Capitol.
Tomorrow, the Senate Banking Committee resumes its hearings on the nomination of Mrs. Carla Anderson Hills to be the new Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. On the basis of her first appearance, David Brinkley has reached some conclusions, both on Mrs. Hill and on the senators who questioned her. David?
In the Senate committee room, there were 11 senators, all male, sitting there like a row of cigar store Indians, looking down on one woman, Carla Hills, nominated for Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. The 11 males were, theoretically at least, trying to decide if she should be confirmed by the Senate. They asked her over and over what housing policies she would pursue. And she said over and over she didn't know yet that she would study the problems, seek advice, and then decide. Well, that annoyed some of them, even though as politicians they're certainly more than familiar with the evasive non-answer. But Mrs. Hills, the mother of four, decided, probably rightly, that since she has no experience in federal housing, it would not be wise to get into public debates until she knows more about it. Her lack of experience could be an advantage. Federal housing programs have not been a total brilliant success. We have more slums now than we had when the first federal program began in the 30s. So it may be that some new ideas are called for. But she wouldn't offer any now, and that annoyed some of the senators. So did the fact that, as they put it, if they voted against her, they would be labeled male chauvinist pigs. Not long ago, they might have taken that risk, but not now. So there is no doubt in anyone's mind that Mrs. Hills will become the third woman to serve in a president's cabinet. John?
On Editor's Notebook this evening, we'd like to correct a false impression we may have given when we reported that the hospital ship Hope was on its way to the wreckers yard. That's true, but the people at Project Hope asked us to say that they are still in business. They are still a nonprofit organization training medical personnel in this country and many other countries around the world. We would also like to announce that our coverage of next week's hearings on a national energy policy before the House Ways and Means Committee will be limited. The committee has stipulated that only live, pooled television coverage of the entire hearings will be allowed. The networks had planned to cover these hearings the way we cover most hearings, filming the newsworthy parts. The committee's all-or-nothing rule makes that kind of coverage impossible.
Between Hamburg and Bremen in Germany, the tracks and trains are like nowhere else. Here, the tracks talk to the trains, and the trains talk to the tracks. Tracks and trains talk to each other in a computer-based control system created by the people at ITT. It's being tested by the German railways. In the ITT system, the train continuously reports its speed and location. And if there's another train ahead, the track tells it to slow down, or even stops it automatically. When this ITT system reaches our part of the world, trains will be able to run more often, safely, on whatever line you take. And go a lot faster, too, as they talk their way down the tracks.
The Army Corps of Engineers warned today that the Mississippi River is expected to reach 8 feet above flood stage at Cairo, Illinois, on Saturday. The river may go over its banks as the crest moves downstream, and the Corps advised people living along the Mississippi to stay alert for flood warnings. Finally this evening, a look at the longest-running political show in any large city in the country, the latest chapter in the life and times of His Honor, Mayor Richard J. Daley of Chicago.
Tuesday's election was as important to Richard J. Daley as any election has ever been. Not only was Daley opposed in his own party's primary for the first time in his 20 years as mayor, but his three opponents sharply attacked the Daley record and his organization.
Cast your vote for Richard J. Daley.
The organization did its job. Precinct workers turned out the biggest primary vote since 1955 and the highest percentage of registered voters since 1939.
greatest partner that anyone could ever have.
Daley's landslide came from familiar areas, white ethnic wards, and he did better than expected in black neighborhoods.
I'm thankful and grateful to the citizens and people who spoke out today in clear and ringing and resounding numbers.
And Daley repeated what he said 20 years ago when he was first elected mayor.
If one loves charity and embraces mercy and walks humbly with their God, I feel that way tonight. Thanks.
It was an emotional moment for Daley and for his strongest challenger, Alderman William Singer. He spent $750,000 and ended up with 29% of the vote. In defeat, Singer said the issues of his campaign still exist. The man slated by Republicans to oppose Daley in the April general election also ran into trouble from the organization. Alderman John Holland lost his city council seat to a Daley supporter and is indicating he will pull out of the race against the mayor.
I would say that when you lose your own constituency, as I apparently have, I see no future.
The victory has made Daley an even more powerful figure outside of Chicago in the National Democratic Party. Among his first congratulators were a half dozen Democrats who want to run for president and who noticed Tuesday night that Daley can still deliver the vote. Bob Jamison, NBC News, Chicago.
And good night for NBC News.
Whole grain wheat, hard red spring wheat, whole grain rye. Whole grain means that the wheat germ and rye germ are still there. This is bran, this defatted flax seed, and this is pure golden honey. Now, all of these ingredients are in Roman meal bread. Roman meal, the good-tasting light brown bread with natural whole grain goodness. The Roman Meal Company thought you'd like to know.
Cap,
we're the Solitax people. We make roofing materials, all kinds. This is a Solitax dimensional shingle roof. A Solitax built-up commercial roof. A Solitax fire checks rustic shake roof.
There he goes!
Unfortunately, not all roofs are Solitax roofs. Solitax, everything from floors to walls to ceilings to roofs.